B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
His name is Tim McMahon. He's covering Eagles for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. All right, Timmy, give us the latest knowledge on what this team is thinking.
Well, Mike, I think that a lot of it has to depend on what's going before them. Obviously, it's a fluid draft, and they recognize that. But there are some options and are some areas that I think that they'll pursue. I mean, everybody recognizes wide receiver to be kind of the apple of their eye that they have to get to at some point in this draft. I think there is a scenario where they end up walking out of the first round with a wide receiver, depending on how the board falls. And then there are backup plans there. One of them, if they stay at 21, you know, at least from the conversations that I've been having, it sounds like linebacker is actually in play, that, you know, that Kenneth Murray could be an option, that there are people in the building that are championing for a linebacker to be selected early, and that it's been a conversation that has been more serious than some people can remember in recent history about whether to take a linebacker or not. Ultimately, you know, Howie Roseman's going to be the man at the controls, and we'll be able to make that decision. And there's also a scenario that they can trade back and look for some guys in that next tier that would include another group of wide receivers.
Do they like Murray enough to consider trading up a couple of spots to get him?
I don't see that. I mean, I feel like there is legitimacy to the argument that, you know, he is a three down linebacker, that there are people in the building, and, you know, Daniel Jeremiah had brought this up on a conference call that he had with the media. You know, guys like Andy Weidel that are from that Baltimore mold that recognize the importance of a linebacker. You know, what he could do to help solidify the middle of that defense and clean up behind the defensive line. So I think that there are people in that building that are like, you know, Murray would be a good pick. But I don't know that they would move up for him.
Okay. So if they're sitting at 21, do they value him higher than the fourth wide receiver who might be there? Is that what their board would tell him, that he's the better pick?
I don't have access to Rosen's board.
I understand that, but what's your feel?
No. I mean, I try to, you know, I'm trying to ferret out as much information as I can in respect to the way that they're thinking. But definitely, you know, guys like Jefferson, you know, there are, I think they do have interest in drafting him, possibly, you know, but yeah. Like, where does he rank next to Murray? It's hard to say. We know that Jefferson and the wide receiver is a position that they probably have a little bit more weighted value than linebacker overall when you look at, you know, the history of how they value that position.
Okay. What's this big mystery of the Jeudy knee? And do you think, A, that he has a chance to fall to them at 21, and B, would they take him with this knee thing out there?
Yeah, well, first of all, good job by Nat for cracking it open. You know, kind of bringing it to the public fore here. And, you know, what I can say is my understanding is that the Eagles still have him on their board. They're aware of, you know, the different medical things surrounding his knee. It's not to say that doesn't impact, you know, how they weigh him as a prospect. I mean, they're taking medical very seriously this year. I would say more so than any other year. And people that I have talked to suggesting that they're weighing medical, you know, heavier than a lot of other teams around the league. And I think after they've gotten snake bitten by injuries over the last handful of years, that's really understandable. So all those things said, Jeudy remains on their board. And whether he falls down to 21, I don't know that that's expected, that even though there's going to be some people that are and teams that are more hesitant to draft him, that there's also people also recognize the value, and it only takes one, and a lot of people see him as the top receiver in this class. So I don't expect him to fall to 21, but hey, you never know, man, until this thing actually unfolds.
Yeah.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let the variables that could shape a draft. Obviously, with there's a glut of one position because people panic, and that's quarterback. People let you, they give romance with the quarterbacks that are available. They make them better than they really are. So we know Burrow and Tua probably go early. Now there's the X factors of Herbert and Love here. Is it possible that the people come in, grab quarterbacks, and that pushes the wide receiver class even further down? It's in the Eagles' favor.
Yeah, I think that you can make that case. And also, there's been the latest reports are suggesting that there might be an early run on offensive tackles, and that the Dolphins might actually be thinking about moving up to draft a lineman and not Tua. Which gives the question of, okay, where is that second group of quarterbacks going to go once you're past Burrow? And the way that I'm thinking of it is, you know, I think that the best scenario for the Eagles is to move up, not significantly necessarily, but move up enough to grab your wide receiver. And because you don't want to leave it to chance. Yeah, you can get kind of cute and you can accrue picks and you can say, you talk yourself into these other prospects. Mm-hmm. But we know who the big three and big four are. Go out and get them. But the way that I'm thinking in terms of the quarterbacks are, if they start to fade back a little bit because these offensive linemen are going early, then all of a sudden you're starting to swim with teams that are looking to get a quarterback, which could drive the asking price up for like a, you know, pick 15, pick 16, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So all those things are in play as Eagles are looking to decide whether to maneuver or not.
Well, it's going to be real interesting, on many fronts, not the least of which is how this is going to come out televised with all the streaming. And I can say this, if the Eagles trade back and take a lesser-known wide receiver, they better hope that guy is good. They better hope he's not J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
This
fan base is going to be on big alert. The safest move they can make, and you know it as well as I do, is to trade up and get one of those dudes.
I totally agree with you, but there is that next group that there is some love for inside the building, and that includes Ayuk and Jalen Reagor. I mean, those are two guys that, you know, if it all unfolded and they walked away with one of those two guys, I would not be surprised, because I do think that there is, you know, a scenario that unfolds where, whether it's staying put or moving back slightly and taking one of those two, that it could happen. But I agree with you, Mike. I think that even if it's a deep class, you don't want to get to the point where you lean on that as a crutch and the next thing you know, you're walking away with someone that you're less than enthused with or someone that you have question marks about. If you have one of those big four and you have an opportunity to get them, then get creative later and acquire some picks on the back end to do it that way. But move up and get the guy that's going to help Carson Wentz for this year and then for the foreseeable future for the rest of his career. I think that is the move to do for the Eagles in this draft.
All right. One last question, and it has a lot to do with the draft. The Jason Peters thing, or whether they can grab him back for one more year, or whether they will draft somebody or trust Dillard, or what's that stand? How's that stand right now?
So I talk to people around Peters, and you know, their hope is that he ends up back in Philadelphia. You know, the fact that there hasn't been movement at this point maybe offers a little bit more optimism on that front than there was originally. I think when Howie Roseman and company decided to let him test free agency, the thought was that they were going to lose him, and they were, you know, they signed off on that idea. The further on goes, who knows? And there's definitely teammates. I know that there was people organizationally that wanted to keep him, and so it wouldn't be the worst outcome if they brought him back. Because while there are people who are remain high on Andre Dillard, I think that question marks remain about whether he's ready, whether he is ready to step in and be that guy at left tackle. And that's not a position Carson Wentz is blindsided that you want to mess with. So I think that the best case scenario is that Peters comes back, and you know, at least the longer this goes on, I guess it leaves that optimism out there.
All right, Timmy, buckle up, brother. Well, I look forward to talking to you after this draft. You're back on tomorrow. Yeah, we'll have you on tomorrow. Right.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. There it is. Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.